Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. The Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall, and I'm excited to share this topic today and hoping this will give you kind of a deeper understanding of the why and maybe even why we have you do certain things for your health and really help you step back, pause, and take a different angle or a different approach to how you have been dealing with constipation. We're continuing this topic of constipation. It is a big issue after weight loss surgery, and it's something that it's important to address. I like to look at things as why. Why is this occurring? I want to dig down to the root, fix that piece, and then you no longer have the issue. I find that many gastric sleeve and gastric bypass patients experience constipation for the first time in their life after bariatric surgery. So again, something is happening. Some of you, you've had it your whole life. Some of you, it really didn't change much after surgery. But there is a good percentage of you that went from never having issues with constipation to now it's a struggle to have a bowel movement. And being a bariatric dietitian that practices more functional medicine, my goal is to have you have a bowel movement on a daily basis. There are so many benefits with hormones and mood, and just your whole quality of life can be impacted greatly by you having a bowel movement on a daily basis. I'm not opposed to skipping days. I just think people feel better if we can get you having a bowel movement on a daily basis. So I'm all for all approaches. Again, sometimes they're just Band-Aids, but I'm okay with Band-Aids for the short term until we fix the long-term problem. So Amitiza, Linza, stool softeners, laxatives, smooth move tea, magnesium citrate. I'm for all of those. There's nothing wrong with using them. My issue is use the Band-Aid and then dig deeper into why am I having this issue and work on fixing that so that we can get you off of those Band-Aids long term. So that's why I'm digging into this. That's why we're having this conversation on multiple different angles so that you could maybe explore different options of your root cause. So today's topic is no different. It is about a root cause solution, and it is about finding a different way, a different angle to approach this. And in my experience, it's probably going to be a combination of things that's going to fix it for you. It's unlikely going to take one approach. You will probably have to apply several of them just to get to having regular bowel movements, hopefully daily. So let's dig into this topic so that you can consider this as an option. So constipation improves with this surprising starch. So first off, the word starch as a bariatric patient sometimes just brings this red light or red flag saying, well, I'm not supposed to have starch. Most of you probably follow a high protein, low carbohydrate, or low carb, low starch diet, which I'm not opposed to, but I want you to just hear me out, and I want you to just listen to why you need this type of starch in your diet on a daily basis. So you can change kind of the environment that could be causing constipation. So starch, not all starch are equal. Most in America, most of the starch that is consumed is white bread, noodles, and cake. And that is published in a study that I will share in the links. But hopefully, as a bariatric patient, you have changed this and you no longer eat white bread, cake, or noodles. And you have switched to a more healthier version of those that have the whole grains in them. Because the ultra processed foods like those don't contain this beneficial starch. So I want you to get this beneficial starch in daily or at each meal. And you're not going to accomplish that with these types of starches on a regular basis. If that's what you consume regularly and that's what's in the house, you are not going to get the benefit because the beneficial starch is not in it. So the starch that you need that can really help you, and I'll explain all the details in a minute, but the starch produces a very powerful short chain fatty acid. And it is abbreviated with an SCFA. So SCFA stands for short chain fatty acids. And these are produced in your colon when you eat these types of starches. So the cool thing about short chain fatty acids are they are signaling molecules that change the biochemistry of your cells and tissue. And I'll dig in a minute, more specifically what that means. But the more short chain fatty acids that your colon produces, the better health outcomes you have. And I have several studies that will be in the show notes that you can link to and read about. But it really does help improve your outcomes, including constipation. So short chain fatty acids is really just the bacterial fermentation of non-digestible carbohydrates and fibers. So your body can't digest these. So it is like food for your gut bacteria. So those prebiotics that I talk about, this is some of them. So this type of starch are prebiotics. Again, pause on that. But short chain fatty acids actually produce these byproducts called acetate, propionate, and butyrate. And they all have fabulous attributes, and they benefit us in different, similar, yet different ways. As an example, acetate improves insulin sensitivity. So if you have insulin resistance, you would want higher amounts of acetate. And usually they find that acetate is kind of like a 3-1-1. You have a higher amount of acetate than you do propionate to butyrate. Not an important piece, but usually acetate is something that is in larger volumes. But because acetate improves insulin sensitivity, propionate, it actually has been shown to decrease serum cholesterol, decrease your fat stores, and decreases tissue carcinogenesis. So when you're talking about cancer cells, having higher amounts of that propionate is beneficial. And then butyrate. This is where the majority of our conversation is going to be today, is on butyrate. And not because of just the benefits alone that are numerous. Butyrate has a lot to offer, but because it impacts constipation mostly. So butyrate, it actually influences your metabolism. It decreases your gut inflammation. So if there is some inflammatory markers that are elevated, increasing your butyrate may be a great thing, may not be. For some people, we have to kind of go slow. It actually improves intestinal permeability. So we've talked about that, about your intestinal permeability increases, which some people call leaky gut. So if you have an increased intestinal permeability, you don't have very strong tight junctions, and medications and toxins and foods pass through, and then that's how autoimmunity occurs. So having higher amounts of butyrate keeps those tight junctions healthy and strong, and really keeps that intestinal permeability at a good place. It impacts gene expression. So epigenetics, and if you've heard any of my talks on the nutrigenomics and nutrigenetics, this is that. This is what we are talking about, that butyrate has that impact to influence gene behavior. So it can help turn off and turn on or silence genes that aren't beneficial to our health. So increasing butyrate is your friend. And then it also impacts intestinal motility. So that's where it comes into the constipation piece. So it plays a role in your movements, or that it's a muscular movement, a peristalsis that our whole GI tract has. And if it moves too slow because you have thyroid disease or you've had lots of surgeries and, you know, you have a lot of scar tissue, that the adhesions don't allow that motility to continue, or you've just had multiple things that contribute to it, then you're going to have issues with constipation. So that's where butyrate, if we increase butyrate, then that will help improve that motility piece and help constipation. So again, butyrate is where we're going to focus most of it of today's talk, but propionate and acetate are awesome as well. And again, it is because of these resistant starches that you consume is what is produced with the short chain fatty acid. That's when you do that, when you eat those resistant starches, it increases these short chain fatty acids, with butyrate being one of them. And I will say butyrate, you can increase butyrate through other ways, and that will be a different discussion. But butyrate, increasing it through increasing this starch, is one way to improve that intestinal motility. So what happens after bariatric surgery? What do they find once someone has had bariatric surgery? In 2020, Journal of Nutrients, they found 6 months post-op, gastric bypass and gastric sleeve, they found most of those patients had lower amounts of short-chain fatty acids. They questioned if it was because of a low-carb diet that is followed, but they did even note that because dietary interventions are very beneficial and can really increase short-chain fatty acids very quickly and very easily, that they recommended that really dietary interventions could be a way to counteract that negative lower amounts of short-chain fatty acids. So if you've had bariatric surgery and you follow a low-carb, high-protein diet, which is pretty much the standard diet for most bariatric programs, you really need to focus on incorporating, even though you're eating a lower starch diet, you're still eating, you know, the carbohydrates and the fibers, focus to get these types of starches so that we can increase those short-chain fatty acids even after bariatric surgery. So back to the whole topic of this discussion, the starch. What is this special starch? So what starch produce short chain fatty acids? One is resistant starch. Two is oligosaccharides. Three is disaccharides. and 4 is sugar alcohols. And if you've listened to any of my other podcasts, I do talk about oligosaccharides and disaccharides and sugar alcohols, which are just the polyols, on my FODMAP discussion about bloating and how FODMAPs can cause bloating. So yes, this is something that can be very confusing if you're having a lot of digestive issues, and why it's so important to work with someone who understands what strategies to apply at the right time. Because just DIYing it sometimes doesn't work because you don't understand the timing and the appropriate things to apply when. These types of starches are going to help increase that intestinal motility, plus all these other things, because they increase short chain fatty acids. So the one that we are focused on for today's talk is resistant starch, and mainly because it's kind of been deemed butyrogenic, which means it can produce a lot of butyrate. And like we said, butyrate's our main focus, because it does impact motility. We want to focus on what are the resistant starch foods and how can I get those in. So resistant starch just means that it cannot be digested by the enzyme called amylase in our small intestines. So it passes through to our colon, where bacteria ferment these starches and fibers and carbohydrates, and the byproduct of the fermentation is the short chain fatty acids. So that's the magic, is you eat the resistant starch. It cannot be digested and broken down in your small intestines by amylase. Passes into the colon, the bacteria take over, and they ferment this starch and break it down, and it produces butyrate. Beautiful butyrate. Here is kind of the results of another study, and you will have the link again to this show in the show notes. In the United States, the average intake of resistant starch is 5 grams a day. What is recommended to improve health, or to really actually get health benefits, is 6 grams per meal. Big difference, right? So if you went from a standard American diet where most of your starches were white bread, noodles, cakes, and crackers, and fast foods and things like that, and you've made changes and you now are choosing more whole grain options, and you are choosing more whole real foods, then you are moving in the right direction. You are making better choices. But let me help you kind of dial in and maybe be more intentional about the amount or the number. With gastric sleeve and gastric bypass, you have limited capacity. Your ability to get volumes of these types of starches and fibers are difficult because you have a low volume capacity with your pouch. So you have to be super intentional about where it's coming from and how much you're doing and how often you are doing it. So there are technically 5 types of resistant starch. I am not going into all 5 types, but I'm going to explain one of them because I love this aspect. One of the starch, the resistant starch 3, number 3, is produced in the cooking and chilling process. So you get this resistant starch when it's cooked and then chilled. So an example, potatoes. If you take a potato and you boil it and cook it until it's soft, and then you let it cool down and chill, what happens are those resistant starch molecules, when it's heated up, they kind of unravel and kind of relax. And then when they're chilled, they kind of ball back up, And that starch is no longer digestible by the amylase in your small intestines. So that means that resistant starch will pass on to the colon, and the colon bacteria will then take over and break it down and produce butyrate. So I love this because you get choices. So the next time you have to choose between fries, a baked potato, potato salad, or potato chips, choose the potato salad. You are never going to go wrong with the potato salad. There's actually studies in how in diabetes this lowers blood sugars, because with this resistant starch, it really prevents the spike in your blood sugar. Even with potatoes, I've had colleagues that use potato salad with their diabetic patients, and they have to adjust insulin doses because it is lowering their blood sugars with using potato salad, as opposed to the fries, baked potatoes, or potato chips. So it's, again, you're being intentional. You are making informed choices. I'm not saying don't eat potatoes. I'm just saying choose the potato salad if you have the choice the majority of the time. That doesn't mean you're not going to have fries or potato chips. It just means if you have that option, choose the potato salad. You're going to gain benefit from that. And now you'll understand that now I am going to impact my butyrate level. And guess what? It's going to influence my metabolism. It's going to decrease gut inflammation, gut motility, intestinal permeability, all of those things, gene expression, big deals. So that's where making that informed choice is so helpful. So, foods rich in resistant starch, partially milled grains and seeds. So think of wheat, think of oats, think of flaxseed, those types of things. And they've been ground up. So like a whole flaxseed is not going to give you the bacteria in your colon have a harder time with that. They like it ground up a little bit. So when you buy flaxseed, buy the ground flaxseed as opposed to a whole seed. Uncooked potatoes. Now, I can't say that I am a fan of eating just raw potatoes, but if you are, awesome. You are getting great amounts of resistant starch. And then, of course, this resistant number three, resistant starch number three, the cooked and chilled potatoes, but then also rice is included in this. So if you want to have rice, have rice. If you have the opportunity to have it heated up where you cook it and then you chill it and serve it chilled, even better. Green bananas. So when you are choosing a banana, you want it to be green, and that's where all that resistant starch is active. As it turns more yellow or starting getting brown spots, it is losing that resistant starch. Those are turning into sugars that you taste more easily, and it's definitely easier to eat. Because green bananas, I would say, are a little bit harder to enjoy. The texture and the flavor and just the mouthfeel is so different. So for me, I would have to add it into a smoothie. They actually make green banana flour. So you could even add like a tablespoon of that into a smoothie as a better way. And then plantains is another one. Same thing with the green bananas and plantains, that heating of them kind of destroys or unravels that resistant starch. So it needs to be room temperature or cool for you to benefit from that resistant starch being balled up and no longer digestible in the small intestines. And then the last is beans and lentils. So having, you know, beans and lentils on a regular basis is not hard to do. You can easily add those to meals, even if it's just a tablespoon or two, each time you have a meal or a snack. easy way. So here's some number examples. So 1 cup of rolled oats is 4.4 grams of resistant starch. A medium green banana has 4.7 grams of resistant starch. 1 cup of white beans is 7.4 grams, and half a cup of lentils has 3.4 grams. Again, if you have a tiny pouch from having gastric sleeve and gastric bypass surgeries, you have to be intentional. Sitting down to eat a whole cup of white beans may not be very easy for you, because then you wouldn't be able to eat any proteins or those solid dense meats that are so important. So being intentional and adding those two things, and you know, making smoothies with it, even taking rolled oats, buy a bag of rolled oats and then blend that up in your blender for a flour and use that as your flour to make some muffins. You could add, the green banana flour to it, and then chill it, keep it chilled in the refrigerator to have muffins made with those. So there are so many ways that you can get good amounts of resistant starch. Again, we need 6 grams per meal to really get the health benefits. So that's where being intentional with your choices will really help you in the long run. So if you are struggling with constipation and you are ready to explore different options, I want you to consider resistant starch as an alternative to improve constipation. I hope that helps. Have a great day. Bye-bye.